Sky FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
We're joined now on air by Nick Headley. He's a communications consultant who focuses on economics, climate change, and equal access to opportunities. Nick, good afternoon to you.
Thanks very much for having me on the show.
So, Nick, energy transition, South Africa, everything is energy. You can't go anywhere without chatting about load shedding or seeing the impact of load shedding, whether it's robots that are out, whether it's the fact that at home you have issues. We're becoming very much the bra nation we've always aspired to be. But of course, there's other issues that are part and parcel of the problem that we don't talk about. And one of those is the fact that many communities are still dependent very much on coal being the main source of fuel for our power stations. What's happening in Mpumalanga, and why are we seeing the community acting out?
It's a very important topic that I don't think has really been spoken about just enough yet. So Mpumalanga is really the heart of our coal belt, where most of the coal mining happens and where most of our coal power plants are. There are about 90,000 direct jobs in coal in the province. So it's a lot of jobs and livelihoods sort of at stake here. And just going back to a point you made earlier, I think communication has been really poor around this, unfortunately. And it's leading to a lot of fear and anxiety, which is really very understandable. But there's obviously a lot of anxiety in these communities about the outlook for their jobs and livelihoods, and sort of, as you alluded to earlier, a lot of that I think is being driven by bad communication, particularly from the government. But there is a sort of misconception that South Africa is accelerating its shift away from coal, and Mpumalanga will lose all of those jobs quite soon. It is a misconception, though. So the actual just transition plan, which the US and other wealthy nations, which are agreeing to fund us, and they've endorsed it, it doesn't actually accelerate our coal plant closures. So the decommissioning schedule sticks very much to the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy's 2019 Integrated Resources Plan. Basically, coal plants are only shut when they reach the end of their life. According to the plan, plants like Kusile and Medupi and one unit at Majuba will still be operational beyond 2050. So coal's not going anywhere anytime soon, although that said, quite a few of our very old coal plants do reach the end of their life over the next decade or so. So we have 15 coal-fired power plants. 7 will be decommissioned this decade, so that's nearly half. That's after reaching the end of their life, which is normally 50 or 60 years. And then another 2 beyond that 7 before 2035. So, to kind of sum it up, the transition is inevitable. A lot of our coal fleet is reaching the end of its life. It's either going to be really chaotic if it's unplanned, or it's going to be very well planned and communicated and as fair on those communities as it possibly can be.
Well, let's hope that happens. I was in conversation earlier today with an energy specialist, and one of the concerns that I raised is the fact that should we have the sufficient generation to support our current needs, what are we going to do in respect to the fact that we're trying to get industry and mining back on track to help with the massive unemployment and for industry and manufacturing to come back to South Africa? So we hope that, you know, when you see these communities in Mpumalanga being affected by this, we hope that government has other plans in line of the fact that there's going to be these impacts. But I'm glad you pointed out that this is transitional. Do you think that the community itself will understand that there will be new opportunities and that we can't remain dependent based on the current commitments we've made to the international community, as well as what you said in respect of the lifespan of these power stations?
So I've actually spoken to a couple of organized labor representatives at KASATU and a couple of the other unions, and they're quite often speaking to these communities. And what I sort of hear back is that people do recognize that the writing is sort of on the wall for coal, and it is inevitable. They are, like I say, just very anxious because they don't know what comes next, and that's completely understandable. But in COSATU and everyone up in the labor, sort of general labor movement, talks with coal communities, they are trying to sort of think up plans for what comes next. And something that I think is quite smart, which COSATU is looking to do, is looking to include reskilling and retraining sort of clauses in future wage agreements, so that workers in the coal sector are prepared for what comes next. There's also thinking around things like once all that land around coal mines and plants becomes available, when they're decommissioned, there's opportunities for things like land redistribution. And a sort of shift to agriculture, which is quite labor intensive. Then the Presidential Climate Commission has done quite a lot of talks in those communities over the past 18 months or so to chat to communities and see what it is they would like to see replacing coal, which inevitably there will need to be a replacement to absorb all of that labor. And there's a lot of planning around things like renewable energy manufacturing facilities and agriculture and things like that. So there's one very important case study, which is at the Kamati coal-fired power station, which was shut down a couple of months ago because it's reached the end of its life. And that's being repurposed into quite a few different things. There's a agri-PV facility, which is growing crops under solar panels. There's also a little microgrid manufacturing facility where workers at that coal plant will manufacture microgrids to electrify the last few communities in South Africa that still don't have electricity. And as well as adding solar and wind energy as well as battery storage there. So that's it's a case study that'll hopefully be able to be replicated across the province if it all goes according to plan.